welcome to this Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the superintendent of Triton Central Schools in Fairland, Indiana, Chris Hoke. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, executive director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence. It reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Well, let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Chris Hoke. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning, and thank you.
Tell us about your school district, Triton Central Schools, and the community that you're located in.
TC is a unique little place. It's a rural school that's located just 20 miles from the heart of Indianapolis. Mm. And so it's an interesting mix and kind of a juxtaposition of images.
Yes.
So a pre-K 12 district, just about 1,400 kids. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice little small place. One in three transfer to us.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that's another interesting dynamic.
People coming by choice.
They are. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes a great effort because, like most, we don't transport. So it's an interesting mix of people who are local and, mm-hmm. and folks that are coming from nearby communities.
Chris, does that change the way that you lead when you know that so many people are coming by choice and could go anywhere, right? They can drive any school district they want to, but they're coming to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I would tell you that from our perspective, it's maybe the most true measure of quality control there is.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can elect to go anywhere.
Right.
And so can all of our in-district families as well, right?
Yeah,
we joke
absolutely.
About, like, we've got to appeal to our out-of-district families, but hey, we got to appeal to the family that lives across the street from campus.
Paying the taxes and living in the community.
They have the same choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same options. So, yeah, it does. It absolutely does.
Now, if I recall, your district has not always been Triton Central. There was a rename that went on, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, about a year ago.
Yeah. Tell me about that process, because it's, you know, sometimes there's the people that have lived there for generations have very, very strong feelings about names and identities. So what was the impetus behind that change and what was the process you went through?
So the interesting thing about this is, and there's been some others that have gone through this process, is that it was the reverse of what most others anticipate. Northwestern Consolidated was the actual legal name of the district. No one referred to it as that.
Mm.
They always referred to it as Triton Central. And so the question that was brought up is, well, why don't we just change the name?
Yeah. Similar to what New Pal did.
Yeah, very similar, right? Yeah. Actually, when we learned a lot from their experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that goes into that that is not apparent mm-hmm. from the surface. And one of the things, as we got into it, is on a technology side, you have to redo everything on your servers, all your domain names. There's all this stuff behind the curtains of Oz.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That I am blissfully ignorant of. That actually took, it was a heavy lift in that sense.
And
you know, it's far more than changing the stationery.
Official name of the state, all the IRS, all the things that you have to do.
And we're still finding things 12 months later, like, oh, yeah, we need to do that. Right? And I think that will probably be the case for several years.
Yeah. Do you still have people that refer to you, those that have been around for a while, as Northwest Consolidated?
See, that's the funny thing about it, Jeff, is no one referred to it as that. They always referred to it as
Triton Central.
Right. So it's actually, it was kind of a collective shrug of the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't that happen sooner?
Well, and ironically, when I was doing some before podcast research and saw your profile, I thought, I didn't know that Chris was up in the Kokomo area, because you have Northwest School Corporation up just north of Kokomo there.
Right. So funny story. I came to TC with an old friend of mine that's now in South Carolina, Dr. Shane Robbins. And I was in charge of, like, school delays.
Mm-hmm.
And I closed school up there
day
on accident, because I called in and made the notice and they got confused.
Oh, geez.
And they posted it Northwestern. So yeah,
Ryan Snotty would have been superintendent probably at that time.
I think so, yeah. So the kids near Kokomo had a snow day on me.
Oh, wow.
So there's some confusion that comes sometimes with Northwestern.
Yeah.
Triton Central is what it's always been familiar with people.
The superintendency is very consuming, of course, and it requires a great deal of thought, a great deal of time. We were talking before the podcast about taking breaks and recharging a little bit. And you have made it a practice for you that you actually take that time after the school year is done, after the students have graduated and the teachers are on break, as opposed to sometimes people that take trips and vacations during those spring breaks and fall breaks. What led to that cadence for you to say, this time after the school year is when I can truly shut down and recharge?
Consideration for our staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, my kids are grown adults, and so, you know, we went through that phase
where sure.
we went and did the family trips and did all that and love it and have great memories of it. But I have more flexibility at this stage of life, mm-hmm. whereas some of the folks that serve with us, they don't.
Yeah.
And so that time's precious and sacred to them. It's very easy for me to go do, you know, what I'm going to do the first week of June.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, over spring break, I stay and take care of business there on campus so the others can go.
When the building's quiet and you actually can get some office time.
You can. There's there's some serenity to that and solitude to it. But it's largely out of consideration for them. They have less flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris, in a district like yours, how do you stay connected to those students? What are some of the strategies that you utilize to make sure that you know what's happening in the classroom, you're hearing that student voice, you know what their experience is, maybe some of the things they're concerned about or really celebrating?
So the size and the physical makeup of the campus make this a little easier than maybe some other places where it served previously. We're a single campus.
Mm.
So all three buildings on a single campus, and you can walk them.
Yeah.
I'm in each building every day.
Wow.
I like all of us, self-reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did not do a very good job of a year ago was being physically visible and present at times. You know, there's a cacophony of noise and distraction that can seep into your day. And it's easy to get distracted and lose sight of the main thing, which is kids. And so I actually stole this idea from Chuck Brimberry, who, when he was at Peru, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have a two-hour segment of time that nothing is allowed to be scheduled.
And you block it off.
I block it off, and I go to the buildings, and I walk the halls. I eat lunch, not every day, but most days in one of the three buildings. And so it's just a being present and being available.
Mm.
Kids are astonishingly honest.
Yes, they are.
And so, if you know, once they become comfortable with you, it's pretty good market research.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about, like, spending a day in their shoes.
Yeah.
They are our customer.
Mm-hmm.
They and their families are our customers, and we're a business that sells a product. It's an education experience. And so you need to be able to embed and do that. My older cousin, now retired, was in charge of all the maintenance at the Magic Kingdom in Disney, Orlando.
That's a huge responsibility.
Yeah, it was great. What a cool job. And I remember him talking about, and I assume Disney still does this. They did it when Barrett was there. Every person in management has to do two things a month. And the first one is infinitely amusing to me because of him. They have to spend a day in park in character and costume.
Really?
Which I would give any amount of money to have seen that.
Wow.
Growing up. But the other is they have to spend a day in the park as a patron.
Okay.
So there's a lot of ideas that have come from that experience, like
sure.
Fast Pass,
mm-hmm.
you know, that type of thing, right?
Yep. Like,
and so we try to channel that with our leadership and our staff is, what is it like to be a kid in our district?
Yeah.
You know, because what we perceive versus the reality of it, mm-hmm. oftentimes very different things.
Really important when we start talking about some of the things that are important to our students. And of course, academics are the reason why we do what we do. But we know that there's a huge attack on ed tech right now, huge attack on screen time, on social media. The new law that is being put into place with bell-to-bell cell phone banning and inaccessibility. Are those some of the conversations you've been having during the lunch hour with students about what that looks like to not have accessibility to the cell phones?
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of anxiety on their part about this because, you know, I mean, you and I grew up in a generation that's not native to technology.
No.
Right?
Had my first one after I graduated from college.
Exactly.
I had to plug it into my cigarette lighter.
Exactly. And
that, so for those who don't know what a cigarette lighter is, look at your 12-volt plug-in, right?
Right. Exactly. So they're native to it.
Yeah.
They don't know a life in which it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a huge paradigm shift for them, and they're mm-hmm. anxious about it.
Yeah. Chris, did you always know you wanted to be a superintendent? What was your pathway?
No, it's the last thing in the world I thought I would do. I had a very non-traditional entry into education.
Mm-hmm.
My undergraduate degree is in mechanical engineering.
Okay.
From Purdue University.
And boiler up.
Boiler up. I spent the largest part of the 90s as a pressure vessel and piping engineer with ExxonMobil.
Wow.
Oil refinery outside of Joliet, Illinois.
Yes.
I found my way into education in the late 90s. We don't have enough time on the podcast to do that whole story. But long story made short, I got involved in coaching as a lay coach at the local high school. Mm-hmm. And then that led to an opportunity to coach part-time at the University of St. Francis in Joliet, which eventually ended up, I went to Ball State and was an assistant women's basketball coach at Ball State in 1998.
Had no idea.
Yeah, and while I was there, prior to transition to teaching programs, I started my master's degree. I ended up going back to grad school 2 years full-time and found my way into teaching and found the great passion professionally of my life.
Hmm.
So I, you know, oftentimes wonder, do you pick your career? Or does your career pick you?
Mm-hmm.
I think it picked me.
So what did you teach?
I had the most interesting mix. So I taught a half a day of physics with the engineering background. Makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I taught a half a day of advanced placement government.
Mm.
Because that was a personal one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had the best teaching schedule in the history of teaching.
You were doing civics before people were talking about how important civics was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a really neat opportunity. One of my mentors, Ken Klein, was the principal at Huntington North, later became a superintendent both at Blackford and there. But I started the AP government program at Huntington partially because of Ken. Ken asked me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what led you into administration?
Another mentor, Dave McKee, was the assistant soup there at the time. Tracy Schaefer was the superintendent. Yeah. Dave came to me, knew the engineering background. They wanted to do an effort in facilities with energy management and conservation. And I didn't want to leave the classroom, so I told Dave no twice. And he finally wore me down.
He was persistent.
He was, in his own way. Dave was I learned a lot from David. The nickname was the Velvet Hammer, you know. So he was.
I have a visual.
He was resolute, but soft in how he did it, and I learned a lot about leadership from Dave. I finally said yes out of respect for him and admiration for him, and it was one of the wisest decisions I could have ever made. I resisted it actively for a very long time.
So you were in Huntington. What brought you to Triton Central?
Well, I had been the. Teaching and coaching at Blackford County, and the then athletic trainer became a really close friend, was Shane Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane went into the superintendency. He called me one day and said, "Hey, I'm going to take a look at this place in Indianapolis." I'm like, good for you.
Yeah.
And he had been at Huntington. He came from Blackford to Huntington, worked with Ken, and then went into the superintendency. But you know, he said, I need a business manager. I'm not very good with money. I'm not very good with paperwork. I said, well, you're right about that. You're not. But I'm not your guy. And we'd been friends for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
You know? He finally, you know, he broke me down. I said, well, I'll come for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here we are a decade plus later.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Joke's on me.
What's been your favorite part about being superintendent?
The ability to move the needle for kids and do great things for kids, the ability to make things happen.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in that decision-making role, you can make an indelible difference, right? And you can see it in real time. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beauties of a small district. You know, it's the difference between driving a barge and driving a speedboat.
Mm.
And I kind of like driving a speedboat.
Yeah.
Now, you can also make mistakes really fast.
That's okay? Right.
Absolutely that. Seeing the fruits of the labor and knowing that you've provided a really cool, neat opportunity for kids.
For all of those who have looked up cacophony along the way of this of this podcast, I know that our time is getting short. And Chris, I want to ask you the same question that we ask all of our podcast guests. When you think about leading with excellence, and you've had so many vast experiences, and you've mentioned so many great mentors that have inspired and guided your pathway, but when you think about leading with excellence, especially in the context of public education, what does that mean?
It's the process by which you do anything. Do it with fidelity. Do it with intentionality. You know, we talk to the kids all the time about the key is find something that you're passionate about and then go be the best at it that you can be. There's no magic dust that we sprinkle over your head and suddenly you're successful or a winner, right? It's a lot of grit and hard work at things that aren't very glamorous. That probably don't make for a great PowerPoint presentation, but it's the consistency of doing it every single day.
Yeah.
And I think that's where excellence comes from. It's it's not something showy or glamorous. It's really kind of boring.
Yeah.
But be consistent in it, be intentional in it, and do it with, you know, fidelity would be the word I would use.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we try to do everything we do that way.
Absolutely.
And, and provide opportunities for kids to find that passion, whatever that may be, and then go be great.
Yeah.
Be unabashed about it. Go be great.
Absolutely. I love that. Go be great. Yeah. Chris, thanks for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the superintendent of Triton Central Schools, Chris Hoke. Chris's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions. It's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.